And so Paul and Barnabas are speaking the word of God. And the Jews that were there and the Jewish converts didn't want to hear, weren't open to the voice. But then when the Gentiles, that's us, the non-Jews, when they heard that word, they were open to it. They said, that's the voice. So it's not, salvation is not just for the Jews. It's for the whole world. Jesus Christ died for everyone. Yeah. And they received it as good news. You see how the word goes out. The word is always going out. Jesus said, the Father said that like rain, the word is always coming down. But it hits people in different ways. Some people are like sponges and they receive it. Other people are as hard as rocks and it just bounces off. They don't receive it. So it really all depends on your disposition. Are you open to it or not? That's the Jews were not open to it. The Gentiles were. My sheep hear my voice. There will be one flock, one shepherd. There's one Lord, one God, one Father, one truth. God is one. How do you hear his voice? Starts with desire. That's the first thing. What do you want? What do you want? The Jews didn't want to be open. The Gentiles did. So at first it comes down to desire. Do I want to hear God? Am I open to God? If I am, number two, got to make an appointment every day. Got to make an appointment every day for time with the Lord. You can't know someone you don't spend time with. You can't know someone that you don't talk to, that you don't open up to. It's very simple. It's that way in human relationships. It's that way in our relationship with the Lord. There has to be that time. Make sure that you have an hour a day that you're spending with the Lord in prayer. If you're not doing an hour, start with 5 minutes and then 20 and then half an hour and work up to where you'll so much enjoy that devotional time with the Lord, living faith. There's so many different reflections you can use. Reading and meditating on the scripture, what a beautiful way to start your day, to read the readings of the day. They're on the USCCB website from our bishops every day. So to read and meditate on the word of God, to pray the rosary, to do the Jesus prayer for 5 minutes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Mary has always told us, children, you must pray from your heart. That is with a desire for relationship, not just rote, not just doing prayers to finish prayers and then going on with the rest of your day. She said, when you come to Mass, you must come with your heart, with a desire to meet Jesus, to meet the Lord. When you pray the rosary, when you say the Jesus prayer, when you read the word, you must be open with your heart. Jesus, I want to know you. I invite you in. So first thing is desire. What does a person want? And then that daily appointment has to be there. And then number three, begin to bring God into your decision-making as you go through your day. Consult God in your decisions. Of course, the big things, like should I take that job, or should we move to another town? But in your daily decisions as you go through your day, consult the Lord. Be conscious of the Lord as you go through your day. And consult him. Am I doing your will in the way you want me to be doing it at this moment? Am I doing what you want me to be doing at this moment, Lord, in the way you want me to be doing it? Because it's possible to do our prayers and then finish with our prayers, but then go back to a life without God. Remember that little rebel I talked about? That's that self-centered part in all of us that is like in love with myself. There's always going to be that temptation, as long as I'm on earth, to center on myself. Jesus died to save me from myself and to get me out into him and into you, into my neighbor. Love of God, love of neighbor, out of myself. Another word for that is humility. Walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God, with your Lord leading you every step of the way. So bring God into your decisions as you go through your day. And then number four, you do have to have knowledge. We have to be people of study. We're reading lots of stuff. We're looking at lots of stuff, but I think the Lord would say sometimes, you're reading the wrong stuff, children, or you're looking at the wrong stuff. I need you reading my word. I need you studying the teachings of my church, of Pope Leo, of my catechism. There's your truth. I need you to have a degree of knowledge. The Lord does not expect me to know as much as Pope Leo, and he doesn't expect you to know as much as me, right? I mean, we all have our fields of knowledge, but he expects every one of his children to be in his word and to have a degree of knowledge. So make sure you're dedicating time to that. And then the last thing I put was repentance. If a person has sin in their life and they really don't want to move away from it, they don't want to repent, they don't want to change, then that will be a block to the Lord being able to communicate himself. So desire, daily appointment, God in my daily decisions, a knowledge, and repentance. God speaks in quiet. He speaks in silence. The enemy is, that's what that word means, demonio. The devil is like the Tasmanian devil that stirs everything up like a tornado. That's what he wants. He wants us all stirred up on the inside and on the outside. Noise, noise, noise all the time. So we will be distracted from our God who speaks in quiet, who speaks in silence, in prayer. God also speaks where two or more are gathered. When I go to our men's Bible study, our men's group on Friday mornings, and by the way, you're all invited, men, and we're going to start a ladies' Bible study as well. On Friday mornings, we all go around the table, and each one of us gives thanks and praise to God. And as my brothers are doing that, I can feel strength, power coming into me, a synergy of Holy Spirit energy. Because Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, connecting with me, there's increased power there. I know that God speaks to me powerfully in nature. I'm so grateful I don't live in a concrete city, that I live in paradise out on the canyon. And I get to hear nature. I get to see nature. Yesterday, a skunk walked across my patio as I was doing my prayers. And I just said, walk on by. Just keep on walking. Keep on walking, Mr. Wonderful Skunk. I'm not going to bother you at all. I've discovered bugs out there on the canyon I never knew existed. I've seen bugs out there I never knew. I've never seen that bug before. I see the deer, I see the jackrabbits. I mean, nature really speaks to me because it's so quiet. It's so peaceful. The animals and nature, they are all functioning the way they came out from God. Only you and I, humans, are not functioning the way we came out from the Father. Only we broke relationship and sin came into us, but not into the animals and not into nature. So that's why we love nature so much, because it's still in harmony with the way it came out from God. So nature, God can speak through people. Be open to what people are saying to you. But here's something, be careful, because Satan can speak through people as well to tempt us and to get us the wrong way. God can speak through your thoughts. God can put a thought in your head, but be careful, because Satan can do that as well. And so we have to be discerning people. The voices I'm hearing, are they from God or not? And this thought that I'm thinking, is it just a human thought, my own thought? Or Lord, is this a thought from you? Or is this a thought from the enemy? So we do have to discern those, what is of God and what is not. So those are ways that God speaks to us. And talking about Pope Leo, he speaks publicly. He speaks publicly to the church through Pope Leo the 14th. His name is actually Robert Prevost. So it looks like Prevost, but it's pronounced Prevost, Robert Prevost. I really didn't know him. I didn't know who he was because, as you know, oh, and by the way, thank you, Roland. I don't have to tell you too much about his life because Roland put this beautiful insert into the bulletin. So Spanish and English, you can read about the history, his life. So thank you, Roland. I didn't know him because, as most of you know, he spent 2/3 of his ministry in Peru, and he was the director of the Order of the Augustinians around the world, and he served in Peru for most of his time. And then 2 years ago, Pope Francis called him to Rome to be in charge of the dicastery that chooses all the bishops. So most of the bishops knew him. But he really wasn't in one of the top five, like four or five, that they were thinking would be Pope, because he was American, and they don't really go for Americans too much. So we didn't expect an American to be elected pope. But Cardinal Dolan from New York, wonderful Cardinal Dolan, he was interviewed, and I saw the interview he gave, and he said, but you know what happened? You know, all the cardinals, 133 of us, we all were there for days before the conclave started, and we're all living in the same place, so we're all socializing, and that's part of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the discernment. We're all talking about, what do you think? What do you think the church needs? What do you think the Holy Spirit has in mind for the church? What do you think? What do you think? And he said, Cardinal Provost was his name, was around, so he said, and I knew of him. Cardinal Dolan said, I didn't know him personally, but we all knew of him. But his name kept coming up. And then as the votes came in, he was elected on the fourth vote. Is that right? On the fourth vote on Thursday. That's pretty fast. That's fast. That means there wasn't a division amongst the cardinals between like two candidates, two cardinals. And Cardinal Dolan said, that's what happened. He said, after the first vote, we had different candidate, you know, different cardinals got different numbers of votes, but after the second one, it started to coalesce around Cardinal Provost, and he said, we just kind of realized it. It's like the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit was just saying, this is the guy, this is the guy. His brothers couldn't believe it, right? Did you see the YouTube videos on his brothers? I can't believe it. My brother is the Pope. Because, I mean, before 2 years ago, he wasn't a cardinal. He was like a guy. He's like me. And so my brother's the Pope. And so it was really kind of neat the way the Holy Spirit picked this Holy Father. And then he picked the name Leo. And he explained why, I believe it was yesterday, either in a homily or in a talk, the reason he picked Leo the 13th, which is so weird. It's just not a name. We've had 13 Leos before him. He's Leo the 14th. The last Leo was over 100 years ago, Leo the 13th, at the turn of the century, 1900. And then our new Holy Father explained yesterday why he picked that name. He said because of the encyclical that Leo the 13th wrote on social justice, Rerum Novarum, which means of new thing. It means of new things. And the encyclical was on the Industrial Revolution, okay? So electricity had been invented. You've got trains being built. You've got factories being, you've got assembly lines throughout Europe, throughout the United States. And Pope Leo XIII could see, this is not good for workers. They're not treating workers well. They're underpaying them. The hours are excessive. The working conditions are horrible. And he says this could go in the wrong direction. So he wrote a famous encyclical on progress, on Rerum Novarum, and Pope Leo the 14th said we're in a similar situation with technology today. That technology is moving so fast, especially with AI, artificial intelligence. He said that we need to, same thing as the Industrial Revolution, we need to harness it for the good of human beings and for the dignity of human beings. And he said, AI, we have to really, it's going so fast. Did you know that 37% of all businesses are using AI? So when you call up, when you call up and you get that automated things and they're taking information, and that's all AI, that's artificial intelligence. It's amazing the amount of data that they can accumulate and work on. It has such potential for medicine, for advances in technology, because human beings just can't get that much data that fast, and it could interpret it very quickly. And so it has wonderful applications. But at the same time, you know, it could be used for cyber attacks. It can be used to fake people's personalities, put messages out there that aren't real. So it can be very dangerous. And so that's why he picked Leo. He said, Leo, I want Leo, because we really need to look at what's happening in the world and make sure that it's channeled toward faith. It's channeled for the good and the dignity of the human person. That's why he picked Leo. When he came out, and people started crying, you know, they showed people in St. Peter's, people clapping and crying, and they wouldn't stop clapping. And so he came out, and he waved like this, and then he stopped, and then he got uncomfortable. Did you notice that? His face kind of got uncomfortable, like, okay, stop clapping. That's enough. I'm here, and I'm ready to say hi. And they just kept clapping and clapping. And then he kind of got uncomfortable, and I think what happened was he realized what they were doing. They were acknowledging something in him. Not him, but in him. They were acknowledging something in him. And the weight of his office came down upon him. And he realized, wow, they see truth in me. They see a light in me. They see God in me. I am like a conduit, like a connection to their divine, to the divine for them. I am a sure foundation. That's what the church is. It's the pillar and foundation of truth. And they're sensing that. They're saying, kids don't want to be without their mom. Kids don't want to be without their dad, without a home. They want a sure foundation. And people, I know that rebel inside of us, it's fun to be free and do whatever you want. But for how long? It gets very shaky after a while when you say, I don't know why I'm on this planet. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know what the meaning and purpose of life is. I don't know where I'm going. I keep doing these things and I'm still not happy. Where am I going when I die? People feel shaky. They see the Pope and it's like, I don't have to shake anymore. Here is a sure foundation. Praise God. Praise God. And I think that's what he felt and that's what the people were feeling. Around the world, did you notice that? Not just within the Catholic Church. My sister, who's not Catholic anymore, she texted me and she said, Chuck, you have a Pope. And then, period. We have a Pope. Period. The world has a Pope. That was her text. She's not even Catholic. I say, Lisa, get back here. What are you doing? You need to have the Eucharist. Because she spends an hour a day reading the scriptures, like all of us should, okay? She would be an amazing Catholic. But she saw that in him too. So many people saw that in him. And I was called by the Chico Enterprise for an interview that afternoon on the phone, and I'm always making imprudent decisions, so I said, sure, I'll interview you. I can mess it up. So he was asking me questions, and I really couldn't give him a whole lot of information because I said I really didn't know the Pope very well, and I just found out about him, so I really don't know what his plans are or anything else. But he thanked me for my input, what I thought. And at the end, he said, any last thoughts? And the last thing that came to my mind, I said, you know, when the Pope came out and I saw how the world kind of acknowledged him, Catholics and non-Catholics, and world leaders acknowledging him, I said, I really hope that everyone, world leaders, that all people listen to him because he is the vicar of Christ. And a vicar stands in the place and has the authority of another person. That's what a vicar does. And he's the vicar of Christ. He stands in the person of Jesus to teach in faith and morality. And he said that in his first homily. That's my job, is to transmit the truth of Jesus Christ in the first place, the person of Jesus. He wants you to have what I want you to have, a personal relationship with the Lord, and he said that. And then after that, the truth of Jesus. It wouldn't surprise me if his first encyclical is on technology and those kinds of things. We'll see. But I said, that's my prayer, is that world leaders and everyone listens, because when Paul and Barnabas spoke, they were speaking to the whole world. When Jesus spoke to the Jews in Israel, he was speaking to the whole world because it's his Father's plan for all of us, for all of his children who he loves. There would be one sheep and one shepherd, one fold, one sheepfold. Just a real quick thing on a mother's voice. Mother's voice. Thank you, mothers, because I've always loved a mother's voice, because a mother's voice is softer than a father's voice. A father has an authority to it and can inspire fear in the children. Mothers' voices come from their hearts, come from their hearts. A mother's voice most of the time is softer and it's loving And so thank you, mothers, because that's the voice of Jesus. 99% of the time, Jesus had a mother's voice, a soft, calm, loving voice of support. So we honor our mothers. Thank you for having Jesus' voice for the rest of us. And God bless us all as we move forward with Pope Leo. And now I want to invite